If they'll only stay quiet for a few more minutes.
Hi, this is Keith, your host at the Retro Radio Podcast.
His contribution to the personality of our nation is that of an artist who works with the soft brush of great music, painting pictures that are visible only to a man's heart.
And we're the Retrobots, David, Tom,
and Jill.
Junior is mine. He obeys me. What you might call a mechanical stooge.
The Retro Radio Podcast. The Internet's best-kept secret source for your favorite old-time radio shows.
That's what I'm gonna do.
Always family friendly, always good, clean fun.
Am I falling apart or something? Am I so old and decrepit as all that?
It's the place where new tech
meets old tech and likes it.
Oh, what a character!
Visit us today at retro-otr.com.
If you can hear us, answer, please.
Leave us a comment, send us email, join our forum or newsletter. We would love to hear from you. Thanks for downloading our show, and thanks for your support.
Thanks to Glenn Miller, and, in the mood for our opening soundtrack, I'm Jill and...
Welcome to the Retro Radio Show, taking trips back to the days when radio was young.
Today, we have another great feature for you.
It's Blair of the Mounties, Fire Valley, from January 31st, 1938.
That is going to be a good one. Enjoy the show.
Feedback and letters from listeners have always been important. Here's Graham McNamee to share a few letters of early radio listeners. Maybe they'll answer some of your questions too.
Letters from listeners. Each week we invite the listeners of Behind the Mic to write us questions about radio. And the three or four we consider to be of most general interest, we have answered on the air by the radio editor of some outstanding newspaper or magazine. Tonight's questions will be answered by Joe Ranson, radio editor of the Brooklyn Daily Eagle. Mr. Ranson, Mr. Ralph Spencer of Toledo, Ohio, wants to know what is the oldest commercial coast-to-coast program still on the air.
Well, Mr. Spencer, the oldest commercial coast-to-coast program still on the air is the City Service Program. It originally started in 1925 and was on the air intermittently until 1927, at which time it went on regularly summer and winter, and is now enjoying its 13th consecutive year.
Miss Helen Ruth Wegman of New York writes in to ask, can you tell me what was the earliest theme song used on the air?
Well, Miss Wegman, as far as I can find out, the earliest radio theme song was used by the Happiness Boys back in the early 20s. It began something like this. How do you do, everybody? How do you do? How do you do, everybody? How are you?
Can't you sing it?
Not with this throat.
Miss Margaret Bart of Phoenix, Arizona asks, can you tell me if Yehudi, who Jerry Colonna mentions on Bob Hope's program, was Jerry's own idea?
Well, according to the advertising agency which produces the Bob Hope show, Yehudi was created by one of the scriptwriters. Yehudi was originally to be used only for one show, but he proved so popular that they've been writing him into almost every script.
Mr. Henry Zucor of St. Louis, Missouri says this. Last week I heard Bill Stern interview the Navy football coach, Swede Larson, on Behind the Mic in a supposed telephone conversation. How was Swede Larson made to sound as if he was on the phone? Mr. Zucker refers to this type of sound, of course.
Every week, Behind the Mic brings you true, amusing, and thrilling stories behind radio.
Well, Mr. Zucker, this effect is achieved in this way. The microphone into which Major Larson spoke was the same as any other microphone. However, The voice comes from the mic into the control room and goes through a device known as a filter box, which eliminates the high or low tones of the voice. Thus, the voice is thinned in such a way as to make it sound as if it was on the telephone.
Thank you, Joe Ranson, for answering those questions. Thanks.
Time to sail into a short tale that is incredible, but true.
Amazing stories of the sea, there is one which invariably evokes a smile of skepticism and disbelief. But that smile vanishes whenever the story itself is supplemented by the convincing evidence of its truth. The New York Sun of October 9, 1931, published a complete account of the incredulous affair. Here is that story.
It was a long and hazardous voyage that Captain Neil Curry undertook when his ship sailed out of the harbor of Liverpool that morning in 1881. But as the days passed and the wind blew fair, everyone, captain, his wife, and the crew alike, was lulled into a false security. And then, on a certain night, when the ship lay 1,500 miles off the coast of Mexico, catastrophe struck.
Captain Curry! Captain, sir! In the galley, sir! Fire's broken out!
Long before the captain and his wife reached the galley, the smell of smoke stung their nostrils. When they arrived, the flames were already consuming the walls, creeping hungrily out into the other parts of the hold.
It's no use, sir. We can't stop it.
All right, leader. Give the order to abandon ship.
There were only three lifeboats, and they were pitifully frail. For a time, the eyes of every man in them were pinned on the fiery hulk which they had left behind them. As they watched in horror, it began to settle, and slowly the waves washed over it.
Then there's no hope at all. We'll die of thirst.
Yes, unless a ship comes.
But no ship came. The night passed, another day, and another night. And now, their lips were cracked, and their tongues parched, and they spoke in hoarse whispers.
I can't stand it. There's water there. I've got to get down.
You fool. That's salt water.
Neil, look. The water around us, it looks different. It's always been blue. And now it's green. But it looks like the water in a pool or a lake. Neil, I'm going to try.
Captain Curry bent forward and seized his wife's arm. But he was too late. She had dipped her hand into the sea, and now her fingers were in her mouth. Captain Curry's wife had not gone mad. There, in the midst of the ocean, the captain and his crew leaned over the sides of their boats and drank their fill. And when their thirst was slaked, they took up their vigil again with renewed hope. And when at last a ship appeared and they were taken aboard, they knew that they owed their lives to a miracle without parallel in the history of the sea. A miracle incredible but true.
Hi, this is Keith, and here's one way how you can support our podcast. It's as simple as sending us an email. All you need to do is click the link at the top of the page. It says contact, and you fill out the form and hit the button, and we will receive your message. We love to take requests. We love to hear what our listeners have to say about this show, ways we can improve, and other suggestions. So visit today and let us know.
Visit retro-otr.com today.
We hope you do, because we love to hear from our listeners. And thanks for your support.
Here's one from way back in 1929. Charles King, Happy Days Are Here Again.
Let us tell them
the world about us now. Happy days are here again. Your cares and troubles are gone. There'll be no more from now on. Happy days are here again. The skies above are clear again. Let us sing a song of cheer again. Happy days are here again.
For this feature.
From January 31st, 1938, Episode 1, Fire Valley.
Blair of the Mounties, a story of the Royal Northwest Mounted Police.
We present the first episode of Blair of the Mounties. 30 years ago, away up in the Canadian Arctic, wandering prospectors discovered a mysterious warm valley, a region of hot springs where flowering shrubs and luxuriant vegetation flourish the whole year through. Around the mysterious legend of Fire Valley, tonight's episode has been woven. As the story opens, we find Sergeant Blair of the Northwest Mounted Police and old Angus McGregor, Hudson Bay factor, smoking by the fire.
Throw up to the stool, Sergeant. Yon's a Cornish.
Yes, pretty cold, Angus. Heavens, what a country for a man to spend his days in.
Aye, she's a hard country. But tell me, what about yon story of Fire Valley?
Oh, yes. Well, it was one afternoon in the late fall when the news came in that Corporal Leslie had been missing from Bear Creek for a week. The Indians had a queer story. Said that Leslie had been stolen away by ghosts.
Ghosts, you say?
Well, that is the story. Indians from the Badlands said they'd seen the ghosts heading north with the white man.
Man, that was funny.
Funny, yes. But the queerest thing of all was that our next clue came from England.
Eh? Free England?
Yes. Leslie's mother, Lady Danbury, had a dream.
Oh, a dream, you say?
Yes. Let's see if I can describe it to you.
Did you ring, me lady?
Yes, Dawson. Is Lord Danbury down yet?
Yes, me lady. He's out in the rose garden. Shall I call him, me lady?
No, thanks, Dawson. I'll go out to him. Oh, Robert?
Yes? Good morning, Marion.
By Jove! What makes you so pale? Didn't you sleep well?
No. I had the most terrible dream. I want to tell you about it.
A dream? Oh, come now, Marion. That's ridiculous.
Come, come, better forget it.
Oh, but listen, Robert. It means something, I'm sure it does. I dreamed about Alan.
About Alan? Fiddlesticks. Just a touch of indigestion, my dear.
Oh, but please, Robert, at least let me tell you about it.
Well, well. Oh, all right.
It was so utterly realistic. I saw Alan plainly. He was in some trouble, imploring me to help him.
Oh, look here, Marion. Alan is probably safe and sound out there in Canada.
I tell you, he isn't. Something's terribly wrong. I saw Alan standing under a strange overhanging rock. I know something's happened to him.
Really, Marion, this is preposterous. Oh, hello, Dawson. What do you want?
Begging your pardon, my lord. This here telegram just arrived.
Oh, telegram? All right. Good heavens. It's a cablegram from Canada.
From Canada? Oh, dear, what is it?
Of all the astonishing things. Listen to this. It's from the Commissioner of the Royal Northwest Mounted Police in Ottawa. Regret to advise your son, Corporal ACM Leslie, missing. Missing from Thunder Bay Detachment since October 10th. So far, no trace. Well, upon my soul, Marion, what do you think of that?
Now will you believe in my dream?
Dream? Stuff and nonsense. And you say you saw him standing under some confounded rock or other. Oh, bah, disgusting, I call
it. But we must do something about it.
Do something? Just because that young idiot goes and pushes off into the jungle or whatever they call it out there, you tell me to do something. Why, it's positively insane.
Robert, I'm going to Canada.
What? I won't allow it. It's idiotic. It's... my dear Marion, you don't really mean that.
I most certainly do.
Oh, preposterous.
I've looked up the sailings. The Winnetoba sails on Wednesday.
The Winnetoba? Why, she's the foulest old tub afloat. If I have to go on this wild goose chase, we'll go by the Cunard. We shall be in Edmonton in 18 days.
Then you will go, dear.
Oh, I suppose so. Never get any peace if I don't.
Splendid, you're such a sweet old thing, Robert.
Sweet old thing. Weak-minded old idiot. Always giving in to these confounded women.
Hello there, Sergeant.
Hello, Mac.
Did you have a talk with his lordship?
Yes, I had a long talk with him and Lady Danbury.
Hold on now. What's that picture you have there?
Why, it's a sketch Lady Danbury made. That queer-shaped rock is where she saw her son standing in her dream.
In a dream? And they came all the way from England to tell you about a dream?
Yes, funny. But we've got to humor them. They're mighty important people.
But look at them trees with leaves on them. Them's poplars. Sure, there's plenty of them up north.
Yes, it's clear that. But of course, there wouldn't be any poplars with leaves on them this time of the year.
Oh, policeman chief. Pretty cold day.
Oh, hello. Hello, Joe. Come in and get warm.
Matiki Manitou.
Peter, Joe doesn't like that picture.
Why you get him that picture?
What's wrong, Joe?
Him bad picture. No good. You no keep him.
What? You know that place, Joe?
Yeah, I know him. Him bad place.
Here, hold on, Joe. Good heavens, what a thing if that dream should be true.
Him no good place.
Here, Joe, what do you call him that place?
Injun man, him call him Pakawan Inyo.
Pakawan? Why, good Lord, that's Fire Valley. Joe, maybe you make mistake.
No, me know him. Man go Pakawan, him never come.
Here, wait a minute, Joe. You know trail to that place?
Yeah, I know him. Long way, bad trail. Joe no go. No like him, Pakawan.
Hold on. You my friend, Joe.
Yeah. You good man, policeman chief.
All right, Joe. Maybe I go Pakawan. Maybe policeman Rafferty, him go too. Maybe I tell him big white chief. Joe, him scared, go Pakawan. What do you say, Joe?
Maybe you go policeman chief. Joe, him go too.
Right. You find him little bear, Joe. Tomorrow, daylight, we go.
Policeman chief. Tomorrow, daylight. I go.
Well, by the holy poker, that's a fine trip you're after planning. Slept through the Badlands in the dead of winter. I'm thinking we'll never come through alive.
Maybe you're right, Rafferty. It'll be a hard trail, but, well, we're in the police.
Aye, we're in the police. Well, what's the orders?
Look over the dog teams, Mike. I'll need two sleighs. Stand by to pull out at dawn tomorrow.
Okay, Sergeant.
I'll be with you.
Start up a fire, Mike.
I will that.
Say, how are those feet of yours, Mike? Pretty badly swollen?
No, they're not so bad.
Think you can make it, old chap?
Oh, sure, I'll be all right. But, what is this Fire Valley, Sergeant?
Why, they say there's a tropical valley up here in the Arctic, caused by hot springs, most likely.
A tropical valley? Well, no, that's a queer thing in a cold country like this, so it is.
And yet there's truth in it. They say there's a band of white-faced Indians in there.
By golly, no. It might be them ghosts they was talking about.
Why, Jove, yes, it might be. But
what about that picture?
Well, that's the most astounding thing of all. That rock in the picture is the one at the entrance to Fire Valley.
Sergeant.
Yes?
Did you notice how warm it's turned?
Yes, that's right. Feels like a Chinook. But it's too far north of that. I wonder. Hello, Joe. What is it?
You come. I'll show you. You see 'em light in the sky?
Light? By Jingo, yes. Looks like a big fire. Say, Joe, you don't mean...
Yeah. Him Pakuan. Maybe tomorrow. We make him.
So that's why it turns so warm. Well, that's lucky. Another day on that trail and we'd be all in.
What is it, Sergeant?
Looks like Fire Valley just ahead, Mike. We rest up here and move up closer to the valley tomorrow. Look after the dogs, Joe.
Yeah. I fix them.
Well, Mike, do you have a good rest?
Sure, I feel like a two-year-old, Sergeant. Did you have a look at the valley?
Yes, only a few hundred yards through the bush.
Did you see anything?
Well, no, the place seems as quiet as a grave, but we found that big rock.
You did?
Yes, just like it is in the picture. We didn't go beyond the rock, but we'll have a look tonight. It'll soon be dark now.
You got it, it's a spooky business. Hello, there's Joe. What's wrong, I wonder?
What is it, Joe?
Oh, policeman chief. Woman, she come.
A woman?
Yeah. She come by trail.
Sure, and it's a woman, all right. And a good looker for an Indian.
Hey, what you want, young lady?
My name, Onita. I live Pakawan.
Well, why you come?
You come, Pakawan. I show you white man. His name, Linley.
Mother of mercy. Does she mean Leslie?
Yes.
Good heavens, Leslie, here in this place?
Look out now, Sergeant. It may be a trap.
Oh, no. Linley, my friend. You no come tonight, Linley die.
Now, look, we got a chance, Mike. All right, we come.
Can you see anything, Sergeant?
Yes, there's a path going up the side of this rock. Is Joe there?
Sure, he's right behind me.
All right, keep your gun handy.
Wait, you come. Nene, in this place.
We got it. It's a cave.
Yes, you know what's the entrance. I'm going in.
Nene here, white chief. You see?
Good Lord, yes, Leslie. All tied up. Oh, Mike.
What is it, Sergeant?
Let's have your knife. Thanks, that's it. Cut this rawhide lashing. Now the gag. Good. Leslie. Leslie!
What? Who's that?
Come on, Leslie. This is Sergeant Blair.
Sergeant Blair? Why, how did you...
Listen.
Look out, Sergeant. It's the engine. He says we've started something.
All right, Mike. Stand by that engine. Come on, Leslie. Snap into it.
Oh, heavens. I was stiff as a board. Oh, I'll be all right in a minute. Look after Anita, Sergeant. She saved my life.
All right, Leslie. Can you walk?
Yes, I guess so.
Come on, you mother and devils. There's one for you. Mother and mercy, they got the gun, Sergeant.
What?
Good Lord.
Yes, and she fell over the cliff.
Good heavens.
Listen. The drums have stopped.
By the holy poker, so they have.
Yes. Come on, Mike. Now's our chance to make a break for it. It's our only chance. We'll go back along the path and...
Man, Sergeant. What a story. But you haven't finished. What would they be wanting this Leslie for?
Well, that was the secret of the whole affair. They believed the time was approaching when their gods would destroy Fire Valley. If they sacrificed a white man, they hoped to avert the danger of the gods.
And the sacrifice didn't come off.
Huh? No, that's funny, too. After our trip, a strong police party went in there. There had been a big volcanic eruption. The whole place was wiped out.
No, that's queer. And what about Leslie?
Oh, we got him back, all right. Had quite a time, though. Poor little Anita got an arrow slapped through her. She went over the cliff. Leslie was crazy. Then came the trip over the Badlands. It was a nightmare, but we made it. And that, Angus, is the story of Fire Valley.
Mon Sergeant. Yon's a queer story.
A strange story indeed. But only one of many and varied adventures of Sergeant Blair as told in this thrilling series. Tune in for our next episode in Blair of the Mounties entitled Murder in Long Coulee.
Presented by the Retro Radio Podcast, retro-otr.com.
Thanks a million. So long.